Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
For their 2-week deployment in the city there of either Shiloh or later in Jerusalem. And so that's really what they did. I mean, they raised livestock and they had families, to be sure. But the Levites were pretty much pointed from birth for one solid and specific mission. Learn God's Word. Because when it's time for you to minister, you better have everything ready, all the truths down pat. And how cool would it be that no matter where you were, you weren't far from the Word of God in the form of these Levitical people. Is that pretty cool? Can you see where God's wisdom is on that one? In other words, in Sparks, you had several places to go. You had some Prater Levites, you had some Vista Boulevard Levites. You see how it works? Within walking distance. We're done here in Joshua. Go to the left a little bit. Let me show you something in Genesis chapter 49. Genesis 49. When Jacob is about to die, he calls in his 12 boys, one after the other, and he pronounces a blessing and prophecy on every single one of them. Skip down to verse number 5, and let's see what he says about Simeon and Levi. Verse 5, chapter 49, Genesis. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Well, we knew that. They are instruments of cruelty in their dwelling place. Verse 6, let not my soul enter their council. Thanks, Dad. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. I don't want to be connected with these fellas. For in their anger they slew, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Let me sort of put that in layman's terms. When they get to the promised land, they are going to be scattered. That's Simeon, the tribe of Simeon, and the tribe of Levi. Now we know about Simeon, as you see to the bottom of the map, they were given an allotment of land, and well, don't they have theirs? By the time King David shows up, Simeon does not exist anymore. As we saw a couple weeks ago, Simeon didn't like their allotment, and they kind of complained about it. This is what you gave us? We don't like it. And eventually, most of them pick up and leave, and they are absorbed in the northern tribes, specifically Ephraim. By the time King David shows up, there really is no Simeon or semblance thereof. But the Levites, they have their cities. They don't have an allotment of land, so even still, Jacob's prophecy is true. What happened? Let's check it out. Go a couple more chapters to the left. Chapter 34 in the book of Genesis. Let's find out what happened. What was that about? Chapter 34, Genesis. Look at verse 1. Now Dinah had a talk show. And is there anyone in this room that remembers Dinah talk show? I remember the Dinah Shore show. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Jacob. He had 12 sons, but here is a daughter. She probably had more, but here's one. Went out to see the daughters of the land. Now you have to know where they're at. They're at a place called Shechem. And if you get your map out, God promised Abraham, hence the word promised land, and he gave the borders thereof. And so when Jacob has his family in Genesis 34, he is technically right. Well, he's technically in the promised land, but you can certainly see Vegas from his house. He's right on the very edge. Hey, 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 I'm in the promised land. I'm right within the borders. But I'm leaning over into a place that I really shouldn't be hanging with. Verse 2. And when Shechem, it's a city, but it's also a dude. When Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite prince of the country, saw her, he took her, lay with her, and violated her. He raped her. He feels bad about it, does Shechem. And he tries to make amends, and he goes to Jacob, and he says, you know, I want to make things right. Basically, Jacob, he didn't take responsibility. Hey, parents, watch out whenever you take your kids to Vegas, symbolically speaking. Dinah, her name means weighing or considering. Simeon, who's going to be a player here in a minute, remember, means listening or to hearken, to listen. Levi means attached. Huge lessons for moms and dads. Wherever I go, whatever I do, however I speak, you got kids watching. You have kids who are weighing, listening, and attaching to it. What am I watching on TV, Steve? Dinah is watching and weighing. What am I talking about after church? Levi is becoming attached to. And how do I speak about difficult people in my life? Your kids are watching. So the guy comes back, the father of Shechem, and he says, you know, can we make this right? And Jacob does not fess up, and he doesn't say anything along the lines of, you violated my daughter. And they are within the promised land, as I said, but right on the edge. And they are heavily influenced by the cultures all around them. And they are usurpers because that land is not theirs. That land belongs to Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. And so the squatter is saying to Jacob, you know what? Let's do business together. And we will make a great and handsome business. And it's all about, wait a minute. The usurper who doesn't belong there says, don't kick me out. Let's just make a deal. And we'll have an arrangement. It'll be mutually beneficial. Will it? Let's see what happens now. Verse 23 of chapter 34, will not their livestock and their property and every animal of theirs be ours? This is what Shechem is saying, and Shechem's dad. Let's make a deal with them, but then eventually we'll get over on them and we will own them. Then Shechem said to her father, or Jacob, and her brothers, that's Simeon and Levi, let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me I will give. Verse 12, ask me ever so much dowry or gift, and I will give according to what you say, etc., etc. But the sons of Jacob answered. Why didn't Jacob answer? Because who's kind of running the show? But the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, and spoke deceitfully because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And we know who this is. This is Simeon and Levi. And they said to him, all right, we'll enter into this, only here's the deal. You guys have to be circumcised because we can't do business with people who aren't circumcised. So Haman and Shechem, they go back to the guys. It'll be unpleasant at first. Then verse 23, but let's do this because we're going to own them anyway. So they all get circumcised. Verse 25, now it came to pass on the third day when they were in pain, all the men of Shechem, they were in pain that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took a sword, came boldly upon the city, and killed all the men. They killed Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah from Shechem's house, and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain, and then plundered the city. Because their sister had been defiled, they took their sheep, they took their oxen, they took their donkeys, and such was all the city in the field, and all their wealth Verse 29, and all their little ones and their wives they took captive, and they plundered even all that was in their houses. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land. Jacob more concerned with his reputation than righteousness. Should Simeon and Levi have been upset? Certainly. Should they have lied to the men of Shechem? Go get circumcised first, and then when they couldn't hardly move around, that's when they killed them all. And Jacob never forgot that. And by the time in chapter 49 when he's dying, and the boys are coming in one after the other, Simeon, Levi, in the promised land, you are going to be scattered. Now go to Exodus chapter 32, and we'll end probably here, and I want to show you. So let me get this straight. Because of their backslidden, because of their awful, terrible, selfish bloodthirst, they committed heinous sins. Yes. So much so that Jacob says, I don't really want anything to do with you. And when you get into the promised land, you're not going to get anything. Or at least you're going to be scattered. And it turns out that when you talk about Simeon, that's exactly what happened. But the Levites, something entirely different happens. They are going to become the spiritual backbone of the entire nation. Why did Simeon fade into nothing while Levi is suddenly used by God in a powerful role? This whole study of Joshua is a study of how to live in the promised land. How to understand the dynamics of the spirit-filled life. Here's the difference. Why did Simeon fade into nothing? And how come Levi turned around and became so prominent? Look at Exodus chapter 32, and this will be our answer. Look at verse 7 to start. You know the story. Moses says, God has called me up on the mountain, so I'm going to be up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And they start getting itchy and antsy. The book of Acts chapter 7 sheds more to the story. Their hearts were turning back to Egypt. And so while Moses is getting the Ten Commandments up with the Lord, what's everybody else doing? Party! And there they were going. They're getting crazy. Verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, you better get down, because your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf. That was a huge god, little g, from Egypt. Apis, for you students who want to chase that down. And worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your god, O Israel. They brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, go ahead and leave me, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them. And I may, what's your next word? Consume them, and I will make you a great nation. Did God have every right to do so? Because righteousness needs to judge willful disobedience. But we're going to see another place where Moses intercedes for his own people. Righteous judgment is required for willful disobedience. However, modeled by Moses, intercessory prayer opens the door for mercy and harvest. This is one of the last hopes for America. Willful disobedience of this land moving headlong away from God, especially what we did to Israel this last week. I will bless those that bless you, Israel, and I will curse those that curse you. Is America exempt? The Egyptians weren't exempt. The Romans weren't exempt. The Greeks weren't exempt. And the Nazis weren't exempt. Will America? There's one singular hope for America modeled right here. Willful disobedience requires righteous judgment. Else God isn't who He says He is. However, intercession opens the door for mercy. So His hand is stayed. Verse 15, and Moses turned and he went down from the mountain, and two tablets of the testimony were in his hands. And the tablets were written on both sides. Hey, Revelation chapter 5. Weren't they written on both sides too? And on the one side and on the other they were written. Now the tablets, verse 16, were the work of God. God wrote those with His own finger. And the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said, Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. This lets you know that he's not with them. He's out of eyesight. He's not hanging with this party going on. And he hears a whoop going up, and he thinks, there's a party coming. There's a war party. And he said, no, that's not it. It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat. It's the sound of singing. They're partying. Verse 19. So it was as soon as he came near the camp and he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and then made the children of Israel drink it. You want your gods, little g? And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron says, do not let the anger of the Lord be hot. You know the people, how they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the guy went up out of the land of Egypt. We do not know what's become of him. He's been hanging with God. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire. And abracadabra, out popped this calf. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among the enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp. And he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And one tribe only did so. It wasn't Simeon. It was the sons of the tribe of Levi. Gathered themselves together to him, and he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side, you Levites, and go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. About 3,000 men of the people fell that day. By the way, the law kills. When the law comes down from the mountain, 3,000 die. Do you remember in the second chapter of the book of Acts, when grace came through the Spirit, how many were saved? 3,000. Simeon was dissatisfied, complaining against their crummy lot inside of Judah. They mostly moved to Ephraim. They disappear. Literally, they scatter. Just as Jacob said would happen, they became a non-factor in the promised land. What about Levi? What a model! Where do priests in the promised land come from? Are you watching Harvest? Put your Jesus glasses on. I need priests up and down the land. Well, where do you get them? You get them from Levi. You get them from the ones that repented. We blew it back in Shechem. But it's never too late. They changed the direction. From those who come back to the Word. From those who choose to unsheath their sword, the Word of God, and say with all of God's grace, Lord, help me kill the sin that I've been entertaining. This whole picture, look at the Levites, everybody. Where did they come from? It came from people who blew it awfully. In the promised land of God, He needs priests. Where does He get them from? From anyone who comes to Him and say, Lord, did I blow to Shechem? Lord, in Jesus' name, reverse the curse. That's the point of tonight. Let's all stand together. I hope you see that along with me. Isn't it awesome that the Levites and the city of the Levites, all 48 of them, are interdispersed all throughout the promised land? And believe you me, God needs priests, Levitical priests, to preach and teach the word, to guard the heart and mind of the Lord, to point people to a proper way to love and respond to God. Where does He get them? He gets them from right here in this room. Lord, I want to thank You for a beautiful model here in Joshua chapter 21. Isn't it cool that the 48 cities of the Levites are interdispersed throughout the promised land? Hey, Harvest family, God needs Levitical priests, so to speak. Where does He get them? He gets them from anyone who changes their direction. When the word of God in the form of Moses calls out, who will stand with me? They said, we will, Moses. Okay, time to unsheath your sword, your Bible, and time to go after and kill that sin that has been drawing you away. And don't be like the Simeonites in the promised land, but scattered, ineffective, and a non-factor. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, in these last days, would You use this knucklehead? Please, in these very last days, as I come back to Your word, as I, by Your grace, unsheath the sword, and don't tolerate the little sin things in my life anymore. Your promise? Oh, I can use You then. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord God, in these last days, there are so many Simeonites running around the promised land, scattered, unsettled, a non-factor. I pray that we at Harvest, Lord, are people of the book. I pray that, Lord, You can use us as one of those, so to speak, Levitical people to point Jesus in a healthy, appropriate, biblically correct manner to what the living God likes and what the living God says stay away from. That we, our own selves, can say with a great sense of righteousness and truth to a brother or sister, you need to stop that behavior. And you need to draw close to the heart of the Lord. Remember, you Levitical priests, you are few and far between. You're scattered amongst the promised land. Oh, I pray in Jesus' name. Can I be one of those people, Lord, in these last days? And if you feel like that's something that you would want to be a part of too, or at least have God show you how to get there, would you just maybe lift your hand and nobody's looking around. Lord, time to stop fooling around. Time to stop entertaining the so-so or the satisfactory. Time to take a stand with the Word of God and call some things right because they are and some things wrong because they are as well. And stand in the authority of Scriptures. Are we going to take some heat? Oh, yeah. Who do you take heat from? You take heat from all the Simeonites. Help us to stand, Lord, where You've called us to stand. In Jesus' name and all the loved ones of the Lord said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.